The problem is, if you ask someone to draft a law, they will draft a law based on their training. They will not draft a law based on whether they came from Nelson Street or they came from Millennium Heights. They will base it on the fact that that is what the law requires. I hear some unfortunate comments being made sometimes from people who should know better. The recent one I heard that really, you know, rattled me was the Prime Minister talking about humble beginnings and going to London to study law. And I know that my uncle, who was a lawyer, came from a family of seven. Neither of my grandparents on any side were rich. There were five boys and two girls. The only one who got to study anything was one, because all the others make sacrifices for that one to study. That's the way the society was ordered at the time. People would look around their families and say, Dennis, your brother is the bright boy. He's the good looking one. And we can do all we can to make sure that he get the best. You, unfortunately, boy, you can go next door and cut grass and get a little money to bring for the old lady so she could make bakes for you. Okay? And sir, guess what happened? My brother that went and wherever it is, come back and find me living in the house and say, wait, but I went away and I have a degree and you cut grass and you in the house. Because I be taking care of the house while you getting your degree. You got a problem with that? You get your degree, you got your money, build your own house. So families had squabbles, but that was the order of business. No. Let me also admit that they got people who could afford to send all their children overseas. All. Every single one. Okay? But guess what? I know a friend. He's a good friend of mine. I hope he's still a friend. His mother was a maid at a white lady's house. And I'm using the term white lady on purpose, because she was an elderly white lady. When his mother got pregnant with him, the lady said to her, I am a decent Christian woman. You're not married. You can't work for me anymore. I have to send you away because you're having this child out of wedlock. However, since I'm a good Christian lady, I will take care of your child. And when she died, she left everything to that child because his mother was her maid. Some people came by their wealth that way too. We seem to forget the history of the Caribbean and how we are where we are. So when we point fingers at one another and say, oh, them white people up there have and I don't have, and them people across there have gold spoon and I don't have, it's nonsense. Because we came up in a society that was always structured that way, but we looked out for each other because we knew that our future depended on everybody making a living.
Now, Dennis, on my last point, and I'm glad that you're on. Now, this week, this Holy Week, will be the Fish Festival in Oyster, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Now, I can show the unfortunate things that when we have people with propaganda, and when barbarians won't take time to think, I always said it, there's a lecture going to go on by Dr. Chelham pertaining to Harrison John, the late Harrison John. One of the most unfortunate politicians that ever entered the steps of Parliament. Who certain people mastermind and portray him as a man that come off the planter class and he don't have no uses for poor people. And all poor people swallow it like a tablet. But you don't know at the same time there were another politician who came off of plantation in the name of Earl Walden Barr at Pickering's, and nobody ever said that Earl Barr came off of plantation. And he unfortunate because that man was so humble, Bree St. John. Now, if you know the history of Bree St. John's grandfather that had only plantation, as Nasser would always tell you, he was only ordinary tradesman, billing cartwheels for what you call horse and cart, and because he was good at it, the plantation owners gave him most of the work, and he was able to save his money and buy Malvern. And that man, Breeson, late Harold St. John, suffered at the hands of the electorate by politicians, by keep saying that the man come out of a plantation and he don't have no uses for poor people. And the man was a different type of person altogether. And Dennis, I can't please on that, because we going into Holy Week, and those that were honest, like Jesus Christ, who got crucified on Good Friday, I would say Harold St. John was crucified politically, wrongfully, by Democratic Labour Party politicians. Thank you, Dennis.
I am always amazed by the reaction to Sir Harold Bernard St. John. I knew people who were very strong supporters of the Democratic Labour Party who used to tell me all the time that Breeson John was the hardest working member of the Barbados Labour Party administration at the time. And then they would reply, but he can lose his seat. And I would ask them why, and they would go, well, he can lose his seat. I say, okay. But he's the hardest working minister. Yeah, man, he's a good fellow, but he can lose his seat. I say, okay. So, you know, politics does that to people. Someone who should know, with legal training, said the Auditor General will audit campaign expenditure, is my reaction. You get the money on pain of imprisonment for misappropriation, is my response. The Auditor General audits all sorts of things. Tell me who get locked up, and I will change that to I understand. And throw myself at the mercy of the court. Yeah. The Auditor General. Okay. All right. Brass tacks. Good morning. Someone says to me on the WhatsApp, you are wrong. Though your example of the generous lady is few and far, so not a normal. Let me assure you that once upon a time, it was very normal. My uncle that I talk about that went to England to study law did so because his godmother was a generous old lady who took care of him because she knew his family had 7 children to take care of and they were not rich. I ain't even sure they had a brass spoon, far less a gold one. The examples of people who looked and said, you have a nice looking child, let me teach her how to play the piano. Or, you know, your son seems to be going a little astray. Send him by me on afternoons and let me teach him how to help me build a boat or fix a chair or build a cabinet. Those situations are not few and far between in a time gone by. People's godparents were selected because their parents thought that they could help them give their child a better life than they can afford. I was raised by a mother and 2 aunts, and my mother made, on her best day, $120 a month. On that, she raised her children. I wish people would not believe that happiness or fulfillment in life comes from what you have. It does not. I cannot give my children wealth or anything. I gave them my time, my dedication, and my affection. If now they've reached their young adulthood, they do not appreciate and understand what I gave, then I have failed in my job as a parent. And I do not envy those who could give their children BMWs and vacations overseas and apartments at Millennium Heights. I don't. Because I know that that is not what brings happiness or fulfillment in life. Unfortunately, there are those who don't see life that way, and I don't try to convince them that I am right or I am wrong. I am simply me. And I make no apologies for being wrong when I am. That too is part of life. Rastax, good morning.
I won't try to convince you otherwise.
You've tried and failed. Go ahead.
Well, I tried, but not with any intention of succeeding. That's true.
So we're on the same page. Good on, my brother. Tell me.
No, but no one thing. I won't be talking about David Ellis today because I can't cut every time you say that. So I'll do it probably next week.
Thank you. Good.
In front of him.
Well, right? That's cool. You can do that.
Yeah, no, you don't cut me this time.
I can't cut you when I sit here. I keep telling you so.
All right. As soon as I get the hint of an instruction, I put down the phone.
Okay, cool.
Man, look, here's the thing, man. You know, if I could get my children a BMW and 5 houses on top of it, I would do it.
I agree with you, but me too.
They don't love me for it. I'd rather get something material. I said I'm the complete opposite of you. I have to admit, man.
I know that.
I would love them and respect them and... You know, but they don't have to see it. I can get us something tangible. I would do it, man.
I can't.
Big time.
Because
I have a cock up and then the tangible will remain. You know what I mean?
You think so?
That's my opinion. That's just following on for you, what you have said.
Okay.
So we probably stand on opposite sides of the wall. Mm-hmm. If I had it to give, let me tell you, you would have it. Big time.
I wish I was your child then.
Huh?
I wish I was your child. I would have a BMW and 4 condos.
I had an accident about 10 years ago when a guy got a new car from his father, you know, and he crashed
it. The first thing you do is crash it.
Yeah. That was sad, man. And people called up on this radio station saying, oh, it shouldn't have happened. Mm. Oh, you know, that was a horrible thing. That's the truth. But, you know, I would do it, though. Even if he made me crash the car, I would just do it. You know, but it's a different thing, all right? Because that's what my parents did for me. So, you know, I would like to do the same. But anyway, that's a different matter.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing.
Tell me. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's okay. There's only two things, right? Because I was, you know, listening to the other conversations, so I got at least stick within the confines of the previous conversations. I know, I understand, but I don't mind you.
You can go wherever you want.
Let me stick. Look, campaign financing, you know, you're not, as you say, you can't make people honest by paying them money, whether Tom Adams believed, or
Tom who did it, yes.
You know,
he said if you pay parliamentarians enough, they'll not be susceptible to bribes. That was the comment he made.
Probably an excuse that these men would always do to raise the salaries of parliamentarians, but so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the thing is, a campaign, why does a campaign finance need $1 million per finance?
It doesn't.
If the taxpayers, and I'm a taxpayer, is going to finance a political party, it first has to be a registered entity. It first has to declare its ins and its outs, what you call its application and source of funds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it got to give me some kind of profit and loss or something if it has been there for more than 1 year. So we can have some understanding that this particular group of people can manage its own affairs before it can manage Barbados' affairs. So you have to put some kind of checks and balances in so that taxpayers would know that the money is just not being given away willy-nilly, even though the man employee, his cousin, as you say, as a pollster or something. But you're not only going to be doing that, you will also be containing the environment within which these people will be allowed to operate. Like you have this thing on Tuesdays, which I think is a little too contained, but you know, if I go talking about that, there's a criticism of the individual, so stop. But you at least have an environment within which these guys could expound on their particular policies, and you have a number of people in front who can query them. You know, you have 30 candidates per party, or in some cases 20. They will all have an opportunity to come and speak to the public and expose the public what it is that they're about, without fanfare, without glitz, without stage managers and lighting and all kinds of fancy calypso and singing songs.
But that don't convince people anymore, you see.
I am not so sure whether it does or not, because people go in there and say, well, let me tell you, these people got money in the way they look at me, these flags running. You ever see the way these people...
No, I don't.
Good.
Because I can't be swayed that way, so I don't
I
go.
Understand.
And I don't need nightly entertainment.
But it's
outside,
it's entertainment. But it's obvious that they have some kind of audience because somebody listens. He has to be a joker saying last week he ain't gonna vote for the independent because you know independents don't
care. Can't do anything. Yes.
Can't do nothing. But mm-hmm. The reality is that if you don't start voting for new people and showing that they have some impact on these particular processes, the independents and new people will stop coming forward.
But
and you need to encourage these people.
Sir, you keep preaching that, and let me say to you.
Oh Lord, here you shut down now. Look at this. Lord. Let me breathe.
Your problem is that you don't like to listen, you know. That's your problem,
listened.
Period. Especially when it's me, because my voices annoy you. Let me say this to you, right, sir? The problem that you have preached on more than one occasion is that the system is broke. And
no,
what
no, no,
happens,
no, 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 no,
well,
no.
Hold on.
It is not broke. It works for some,
okay.
But not for most.
Okay,
so it can
right.
be broke.
So, okay,
it
so
working,
it works for, okay.
But
so
that's not for you.
Well, right. And here's what happens.
And not for the people that are going on the beach on Saturday and even one of them as well, but I want to lead into that.
The independent people get in there and then they are overwhelmed by a system that is working for a chosen few.
Right. But you see, the thing about it is
and then they adjust rather than break the system.
No. But then what you do is the environment should be the independent will have, to my mind.
So you know what you say, right?
Chance.
Should be. Do you know a gentleman by the name of Sir James Mitchell?
I know. He's Arabar's best friend.
Good. Sir James Mitchell ran as an independent.
Anybody's
hold on. He ran as an independent for the constituency of the Grenadines in St. Vincent.
Yeah, but
on the year that he won his seat, there was a tie. And he said, whoever makes me the prime minister, I on your side.
But Erna Robinson too?
Okay, but hold, no. Erna was a different kettle of fish. But anyhow.
He was an independent for all intents and purposes.
No, he wasn't.
And he didn't have a split parliament, and he had
wasn't.
To choose one or the other.
No, he wasn't. You okay, see, no, he was AP. He was the.
Okay.
Anyway, that's it. The Sir James Mitchell thing was that Sir James Mitchell became the leader of the party, and the party became his. So he was no longer independent.
Doesn't really matter.
But that's the point I was trying to prove to you, sir. That independents get consumed by the system as opposed to breaking the system.
But look at our present Minister of Finance. He was once the leading NGO in Barbados, very much opposed to government policy, and then he became incorporated with a particular party, and now that went through the door. I am not saying that it does not fail, but you have to keep trying at the independents, otherwise it will never work. You keep going back to these same traditional parties, and you will be guaranteed of one thing. It will not change. It will not change. We're going up on the beach now come Saturday at 1 o'clock, you know, to protest and stuff. Protest against a landowner who is taking advantage of a law that's been there sitting for well over, Lord knows how many years that law has been sitting there. The protest is not so much against the landowner. The protest should be against the law. But the law, gosh damn it, represents the two established parties that have sat on that stupid law for 30 years since that song came out and have done nothing about it. So you're going on there to protest against what your name, Mr. Paul, whatever his last name is, whereas you should be protesting against the two established parties that have done nothing. Now, you bet you come side at 1 o'clock, you can see a BLP person in there with a nice red shirt, and you can see a DLP person with a nice one, a blue or yellow or something, so shirt, and then you'll be there protesting anybody that's, this needs to fix, and we need to have that. You have done nothing about it in all those years. So really, truly, the protest is not against Paul Doyle. It should very much be against the individuals. Jack Dare had the same law to contend with, and he wanted to take advantage of it. Now, here comes the guy who's taking advantage of it. The law still start there. Nobody ain't change him. And he'll go and make noise against
the
landowner.
What does the law say?
Well, I understand. I got two interpretations of it. Anything above the high water mark is land that belongs to the people. And then they got somebody that tell me, no, it's between the high and low water mark, going back 35 meters towards the shore side, and that is what is considered public beach. I've always thought it was anything above the high water mark. And anything between the high and low was like a sidewalk, and you can't stay, you got to keep walking. But one person that say one thing is a surveyor, the next person apparently is a lawyer.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Has the high water mark changed over the course of time because of the movement of the surf and the sand?
Oh, yes, but particularly
so
the crane.
Therefore,
the high water mark was all up by them bushes up there at one point.
So therefore, the problem is not the law. The problem is the application and the interpretation of the
Lord,
law.
Oh, Lord, don't bring that.
Of course it is, sir. And every time we get to that point, you get on your horse and I get on mine.
Okay,
and then we pull the swords and we start. Sir,
okay.
A law is drafted in such a way that it is open to interpretation.
Right.
Because the people drafting it are lawyers, and that's how they make their money.
Right, okay.
Therefore,
well, clearly,
right now,
as it stands, for the past 10 years, the watermark has been pretty defined at the Korean Beach. Pretty much defined.
Sir, if you listen to the other party who is quarreling about the movement of the sand at the Crane Beach, there were plans by the government of the day, whichever government it was, change the topography of the area by widening the beach. Somebody objected and blocked it.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
One of the two Canadians who want to own the beach.
Right.
So you have two people from outside of Barbados having a fight over beach in Barbados.
One guy said the land, but don't forget
and got people from Barbados lining up on the beach to join their fight. When we should be telling them, both of them, when they don't belong here, the same way y'all just tell me, go with my neighbor Stringberry, we own this beach, want to go in and side with one as opposed to the other.
Well,
you see why they sit down and say nothing?
No, but you see, the guy before, after Muhammad, by the way, Muhammad Nasser, that sounds like a Muslim name to me. I hear he's preaching Christianity here on the radio.
He's changed his name from what it was when he joined the Nation of Islam.
Right, so he's no longer an Islamic proclaimer?
Sir, Mr. Nasser has said on more than one occasion that there's a difference between the Nation of Islam and the Muslim faith, one. Two, he's also proclaimed, as several other Muslims that I know, that they believe in all the holy books.
Okay.
The Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, whatever it is, they believe in the doctrines of the religions. They respect them. They just have their particular creed.
Well, I don't know. I thought that the people who moved from Christianity to Islam are those who recognize that Christianity was
you ever heard of a man? You ever heard of a man
black
by
people
the name,
in this part of the world?
Have you ever heard of a man by the name of Mohandas K. Gandhi, the Mahatma, who was asked whether he was a Hindu or a Muslim, and he said, "I'm a Muslim, a Hindu, a Christian, or I am nothing at all."
He's a Jew too.
Well, they killed him before he could say that. So go ahead.
Oh, very clever. All right. So I just wanted to throw
it. I am.
Because Muhammad got a stomach come and fight away. Because you can't be talking for Muhammad. So he got to come and say something for himself. I thought he was
He was not. He is not. Go ahead.
All right. Fair enough. So here's the thing. All right. So you have two Canadians. You have the application of the law. You have the so-called the intent or of the whatever it is that these people say, so as to not be the target of any kind of criticism, the intent of the law and so on and so on. But you got people up there who are going to put themselves in the open to demonstrate against something. So what is it you're demonstrating? I can be there too, but I won't be clear in my mind what it is I'm demonstrating against. Because if a man feels that's his land, and it's by law his land, I demonstrate against the people who made that law or made the interpretation so impossible that it cannot be properly interpreted, even in the court. They take the people to court, as to who land it belonged to. I used to bathe at the crane every weekend. I like the crane real bad. And I hate the fact that you see all those blue things line up on the high water mark, and they can't get down there no more without having to walk over by people. So somehow, the thing has to go back to the way it was, but you got to know who you're fighting against. And if it is, the crane is on the cliff. Now, the crane ain't got a beachfront. I understand all the land behind the beach was now bought up by the same Doyle. He owns that land. Some guy called in two days ago and said, no, that is his sister's land or something like that. So, quite frankly, you still don't know who owned the land that the crane beach is.
But you're going to protest.
I can protest.
What it is you're protesting, buddy?
I protest against the blue and the red. The blue and the red, who have been there for all these years since that song came out, have done nothing to change it, right? To make that situation clear.
What you want them to change it to? Tell me what you want them to change it to.
I want to change so that I got space between the high water mark and the building property that I can go and park out and carry my thing and sit down, or maybe some vendors to come put it there. I could go and rent something from a private vendor because I don't rent hotel.
And when the tide change and it come in, what are you going to do with your things and your four-wheel drive and thing?
Well, I tell you what, go and get
how are you getting there?
Get the measuring tape and measure from the end of the reef and come back to the land.
Sir, and tomorrow morning, that will change. How you know that? Sir, let me ask you something. You know where the yacht club is? Let me change it again. You know where the yacht club is? The yacht club on Bay Street?
I know where the yacht club is.
Okay, good. You know they got a reef? You know they got a reef outside the yacht club?
Yeah, of course.
You know sometimes you could bring your yacht across it and sometimes you can't? Because of the changing in the tide.
Yeah.
Right.
The point I am making,
sir.
That beach built up quite a bit over the...
Yes, and that's my point. And, sir, and the beach...
That wall used to go right in the water.
Sir, and the beach on Bay Street was not there neither because Mr. Selby and them used to get off the boat and weigh the show. And there was no beach by the Spring Garden Highway neither. And there was none in where we call Miami Beach. No,
and
neither.
And that has something to do with Cray Beach, too. Something happened
to that.
And that
has to do with...
I don't know what it is. Sir,
because when we change one way, nature does something somewhere else, and we can't predict where it will.
Right. But you have a law that's based on high water marks, and you say high water marks do shift. So therefore, no property owner should really determine his particular property end
Thank
based
you very
on
much,
the shifting boundary.
And that's
right,
what you've just...
That.
And that is where we agree. No property owner should. And that is where we have a problem in Barbados, sir. Because we're making allowances for people to do things because of who doing it as opposed to what it is.
So you mean tell me a lawyer can't come and straighten that out?
Sir, you know how many? You know how many lawyers involved in this? You want me to call all the names of the lawyers involved in this?
Yeah.
Every single one of them got lawyers.
Oh, okay, fair enough. And some of them are probably running for parliament.
Not those I see here. But this is what I'm saying to you. This is why you have something called a court of law.
Court of law. I hear you. Don't want me to miss
that's
what you
get. No. And this is my point. Until you get to a stage where we solve land issues by fighting across the fence like we used to do in the past. My club bigger than your club, so this is my land. Until we get to the stage where we have perfection, which we don't, we make sure that the institutions that we set up to adjudicate our disputes are above reproach and cannot be manipulated by individuals because of how much they have.
I like when this happens. You lead naturally into the third thing I would like to have spoken about. If you give me a time, the time only takes about 2 minutes.
Go ahead.
And that is the Supreme Court and the Magistrate Court. The people who actually are at the head, who makes the decisions that affect the lives of people, have to be held to some international standard. They have to be constantly tested by some international measure. Certainly IQ has to be involved with that. And the fact that the Prime Minister of Barbados is the one that selects these people is surely not good enough. All right, now that is something that probably would come out on Tuesday or something, or Monday, whenever your parliament is. But you cannot continue. Now, this same land thing will be going into court, and it will be heard by somebody who was selected by a prime minister or two, and probably somebody who will be sympathetic towards the draft people that made the law in the first place. So the truth is, even the place where you're going to put these things is at fault. It's flawed. So you've got an electoral process that you say is flawed, but I'm saying no, it's not, because it's actually working for some people. And you're going to have the same Supreme Court or Magistrate Court. It probably will go to the Supreme Court that is also flawed for us, but no, it works for some people as well too. So we got a problem. We have a problem. And I'm saying the best way to change this problem is to deal with the new people, deal with the independents.
I am telling you, sir, I am telling you for the final time, because I doubt I will get a chance to ever tell you this again. When the new people get in there and they have to depend on the same draft person, the same system, the same existing laws that said, this is how you appoint a judge, this is how you appoint a chief justice, this is how you appoint a director of public prosecution, because that is the system, the new people cannot change it on their own. They will be taken up by the system and they will follow it, because it is the system that gives them their power. Sir, that is why people who take power by non-constitutional means dispense with the Constitution and shoot people. And you know that. Revolutions don't start any other way. That's why I know that what you're saying can't work. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You know, if you take a look at Mullins Beach was a beach. Plenty sand. A developer came, took over the bar, extended this and extended that, and put down this and put down that, and jet skis couldn't come in, and this. What happened to Mullins Beach? Last time I checked, the sand was in the road, the rocks that they rest the bar on was collapsing, and they're now going to demolish the bar and have a members-only club. They could build it in the sea. Do like, Radisson Aquatica. Put down some poles in the road and, you know, put it on the in the sea. That way, when the waves come in, you have the crashing waves under you and, you know, your club will stand up. Nature has a habit of deciding who landmark belongs to whom. Okay? But we continue to believe that we own and control things and, you know, it's all right. It's okay. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
And I'm first time caller.
Yes, ma'am.
Good I'm to calling have you. To notice and I make a thing for an appeal. Mm-hmm. We here living next door to a house that have a gas leak, and you can smell it all in it. And it's trying to get through the house, and I cannot get in it at all.
Are you trying to get through to it, ma'am?
I'm trying to get natural gas, and then I know the line, you know, the gas is escaping over here.
What's the location, ma'am?
Upper Spooners or St. Michael's.
Upper Spooners
Hill? Just below Terrell Court.
Just below Terrell Court?
Yes, please.
Okay, ma'am, we'll try and reach them for you. I don't know the usual answer.
And the lady that works at gas station, ma'am.
Oh, okay. My lady who takes care of me. I know
yes,
who it is, ma'am.
She tell me, I'm ready to call Dennis, God, Dennis, we're going to get two for us. I will let you lose my things in my house. Cause
no, ma'am. No, gas is a serious matter.
And they smell it all in the house, and they call it them, and then call my grandson, calling and sit at dinner, and he ain't getting in.
Okay. We'll try and reach them for you, ma'am. That
it's
sounds
very,
urgent.
It's very dangerous. I will let it say before he leave home.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a blessed Easter.
You're welcome. You too. And tell my friend hello for me. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Hello? Yes, sir.
A couple of things there. In your lifetime or the lifetime of the other generations to come, as long as man has been making laws and legislation, the imperfection of mankind will never allow any piece of law or legislation to be perfect. The other thing is, if you a person who do these two things in life, that's to love God before your heart and love your neighbors, the rest of things will be fit into place. Because at the end of the day, your life, or how you live it on the earth, is not based on no Quran, no Bible, but how you spend it on your face here. And that's how you are going to be judged, not by no book. The other thing is that I want to ask you a question. If there's a new model that's a smartphone, the SS9, and I got, let's say, you say I have five of those, I invited you to have one. I invited Auntie America, give Auntie America one, give Mark Williams one, Dr. George Bell one, and then call a boy off the block. I give him one, all your gentlemen in one room. I say to y'all, in 5 minutes' time, I want y'all to go through this phone and all the apps. I am sure at the end of the day, Auntie America, Mark Williams, and most probably yourself, I'm not too sure, and Dr. George Bell will take the whole day to fully understand that phone. Why the boy in the block will get that phone in 5 minutes' time? The point that I'm trying to make.
I hope you make it.
Yeah, Tom Adams, Gradley Adams, Everett Bauer, Lloyd Smith, they had it is. If they had to come back on the face of the earth, the pace, the economic pace of, is so quick that they will not understand it. So therefore, they continue talking about what Gradley Adams and Tom Adams done as a reflection of the past, and it has no bearing on the future of Barbados economic. We therefore have to look the way forward. My question to you, what is the way forward?
You just made it plain to me, right, that me and Auntie America and George Bell belong to the past. Dr. George Bell belong to the past, and the boy on the block would know. And you're asking me? Sir, if you gave me a XSR, FL, SMC brand new cell phone, I'll hand it back to you and tell you, thank you, I don't know how to operate it. I have a cell phone. And I assign it to my children and tell me, fix that for me and hand it back to me because my cell phone is used for one thing. Hello? No, I can't talk to you now. Goodbye. So don't send me picture, video, app, or nothing else. That's not what my phone is for. And I don't like pictures. I've said so before. I don't look at movies. You're asking the wrong man. You see, the problem I have with you, and I'll tell you again, I do not like pretenders. I like people who call this program because they want to make a point, and they make the point and they go long. You changing your voice and twisting this and trailing that and claiming to be all sorts of things, you know. So I can't have an intelligent conversation with you. And I like to have intelligent conversations. Have a blessed weekend, whichever book you subscribe to. And may you treat your neighbor as yourself. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello? 434-1790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB. Good morning. Good morning.
Dennis the Menace Johnson, I tell you. Now, I want to go back to we just did that guy something else. Mark was on. And Mark was complaining about the Electoral Toll Boundaries Commission and who's on the voting list and who's not. Do you recall this conversation?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. I want to ask Mark. He said that the people who are entitled to vote that live out of Barbados for 40 years, the people who live in Barbados who are entitled to vote for 40 years, they have not voted. Now, why is that? They don't want to vote BLP. They don't want to vote DLP. They don't see any independence. And somehow, There was this movie that said, you see, you don't watch movies, but I can tell you the movie. None of the above. We want some white bulletin. None of the above. Is that an option that we need to have on all ballot boxes? None of the above?
Well, apparently we've reached the stage where if we want none of the above, we just don't put anything. We spoil the vote. We spoil the vote, or we put an X on all.
Or
you don't go and vote, yeah.
Yes, because that's what people thought that we, our forefathers, fought to vote, you know. We fought for the right
to be able to choose, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it is a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I believe you went through this, you know. I'm just listening on to your people, and I just, they're talking, someone was talking about or draftsmen.
Mm-hmm.
And where they came from, mm-hmm. where they did not come from. And then they turn around and are drafting laws against the very same people. Thing. Mm-hmm. And then you went on further and you commented that we have all these leaders, all these Caribbean thing, especially very well-trained lawyers, but they happen to all have gone off to London and gone off to Europe to be trained. This is London and it is Europe oppressed our forefathers. Yes? But that's when we went to be trained. And they boasted that, hey, we went to our presses to get trained. Oh, well, that's the laws you're going to get. But I want to quote from you from my farm, the very last paragraph. It's only 4 or 5 lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And the pigs and the humans were all in a room. Okay? 12 of them. 6 each. 12 voices were shouting anger, and they were all alike.
Mm-hmm.
No question now what happened to the face of the pigs. The creatures look from pig to man, and from man to pig, and from pig to man again. But already it was impossible to say which was which. And you want to ask me about where they come from, or where they went, or where they went and get trained? Mm-hmm. Well, if you send a pig to London and a man to London and a cow to London, you're going to come back and you can't tell the difference.
I know the book, sir, and I've read the book and I understand clearly. Someone said to me here that the drafters should know about, they asked the questions, is it time to stop building on the beach? And I said, yes, it is. And the person said, wish the law drafters know this. And I said, they know. But their job is not to exercise their knowledge or their options. Their job is to draft what they're asked to draft. You see, when you have a situation where you employ people supposedly for their knowledge or their expertise, and then you tell them what to do, and when they tell you, my knowledge and my training and my expertise say this is not how it should be done, and you say to them, I am paying your salary. I am your boss. You will do what I will tell you to do, or you will have to find another job. And if you want the job and you like what is the former governor of the central bank said, I am a creature of the Minister of Finance. I do not make policy decisions, or I do not differ with him in public. I like my job. Do you know a job that pays as good as the one I do? The kind of perks I could get, so I do what he tells me to do. If we differ, we differ in private. I am not going to contradict what he says in public. There are people who take that line. There are others who say, there's a country and western song, take your job and something or the other. Can't say that on family radio. My producer will cut me, you know. Look, you have a choice. We all have choices, okay? Don't blame draftspeople. Don't blame those who know how to manipulate the law for, you know, their wealth. This is Down to Brass Tacks.